W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The FAA says a corrupted database file is what prompted a 90-minute-long ground stop at airports nationwide this morning. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
That system is something that pilots have to check before they can depart. So if you're a commercial airline pilot and you're at the gate ready to go, you can't go until you've been through the NOTAMs for your flight, because it has safety alerts, it has updates about your routing, any issues along the way, things that are safety critical.
Airlines are playing catch-up after thousands of delayed and canceled flights. More documents marked classified dating from President Biden's tenure as vice president have been found in at least one additional location than previously known. CBS's Arden Farney.
The discovery was made after lawyers for Mr. Biden found the first batch of roughly 10 documents at a private office in Washington, D.C. on November 2nd. It is not clear when or where the additional documents with classified markings were found. The U.S. attorney charged with investigating the Biden documents is aware of the additional material and has explored the possibility that sensitive documents could be at other locations.
Jeff Beck, who hit it big with the Yardbirds in the 60s before going solo, has died after contracting bacterial meningitis. Rolling Stone contributing editor Anthony DeCurtis says Beck influenced generations of artists.
Look, anybody who plays rock guitar has been influenced by Jeff Beck. I mean, influenced by way of aspiring to do the kinds of things that he seemed able to do.
Jeff Beck was 78. California faces even more storms. At least 18 people have died, CBS's Carter Evans reports from hard-hit Santa Cruz County.
Even when the rain stops, the water is still there. Massive cleanup efforts are underway just as the state braces for more drenching storms through next week. Across California, crews are working to restore access to highways and roads cut off by landslides. Strong winds knocked out power to more than 160,000 customers.
The oldest living survivor of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor marked his 105th birthday at the National World War II Museum in New Orleans. Joseph Eskenazi was in the Army barracks when the attack began.
I just don't even know why. My hand just went up when they asked for volunteers. Nobody else raised their hand because they knew that it meant death.
Last night's Golden Globes audience of roughly 6.3 million was down slightly from the last show in 2021, when NBC says 6.9 million watched. The show was not televised in 2022 because of diversity and ethics scandal. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with "The Bears Still Suck" as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions, who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Look through your children's eyes, and you'll see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. When they discover the forest, their imagination is inspired by the smell of pine, the crunch of leaves beneath their feet, the sound of birds calling out for attention. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating forest world. You are the hero in this book, This is a memory being made. This is what they will laugh about years from now. These are the roots, grounding and nourishing them.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Then look through your children's eyes and discover the magic all around you. That's discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
The Obama anger interpreter was one of the best. And so I don't know what that would look like as a Wisconsin version for Tony Evers. Greg, get on. Tony Evers as Homelander.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. It is Wednesday. Still very nice out. Still not wearing a coat. Pretty excited about that. Good morning, Jane Metnair.
Good morning, Kristen Bry.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I agree with you. What an unbelievable weather.
We're pretty excited about it. And a very happy hump day hello to Mr. Greg Bach.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm peachy keen.
And we learned last week that when you say that, you mean it.
I mean it. I never don't mean it when I say the peachies and the keens.
Not sarcasm.
Never sarcasm.
Speaking of Oplander, he was on the Earl Ingram show this morning. I have to go back and listen to that.
Is that what we're calling him now?
Yes. And that's going to be my pitch when I finally get Governor Tony Evers on this show. I said, we're going to do a whole bit about you being Oplander when you're mad. I'm going to send him that interview or talking about it last week.
I've never been more proud of something.
It's pretty good.
It is good.
We named last week's episode Oplander.
Oh, sweet.
So,
God, I'm a genius.
All right. Well, welcome to the middle of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. We have, as always, when Greg is here, a very fun show. It is two different national days.
Oh, boy.
One is very important, but very serious. One, not so serious. The one that is very important and very serious that we are going to have a guest to come in and talk about with us at the top of the noon hour. It is National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. And so Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation, is going to be joining us at noon to talk about some of the myths that I think still exist around human trafficking and how much, when we think of that, we think of Taken and Liam Neeson coming after people who have kidnapped his daughter. But in reality, most human trafficking happens from someone that knows the person, and it is much more about manipulation than taking someone against their will. So she's going to join us to talk about that. And then the more fun National Day, special to every Wisconsinite's heart, it's National Milk Day. Or should I say National Milk Day?
Shut up. Get out. You're fired. Jane, you're in charge of the show.
Do you say milk or milk?
I say milk like a normal person.
What milk. Is it? Milk.
Milk. Yeah.
I don't know which region of Wisconsin says milk, because there are people who say milk.
I've heard a lot of people from Illinois say it like that, and that's nothing against Illinois people.
Shots just, fired.
Not shots fired. I'm just saying.
I thought it was a Wisconsin thing.
No, I think I don't know. It could be. I honestly, I just think how you were raised, and some people were raised to say milk, and some people were raised incorrectly. So okay, I didn't get it.
Pello. Instead of pillow?
Who says pillow?
I've heard pillow. Just saying, I've heard pillow. All right, so I have some. I have a fun game we're going to play later as far as some products you didn't know that had milk in them. It might surprise you. And if you're lactose intolerant, you may want to stay tuned for that segment because you could be eating things that could be, you think you're doing all right with avoiding milk or milk, but you're not.
Motor oil. Who knew?
Who knew? Don't drink that.
Yeah.
All right. We're off to a great start. All right. So I've been waiting to talk about this topic until you were here.
Yeah.
But we talked about December, the letter that was sent from Wisconsin Republican congressman to Tony Evers' office about considering banning TikTok from state devices.
Yep.
And after consulting with the FBI, there was Evers' administration has gone ahead and I don't know if the executive order has come out yet or if they just announced they are going to make an executive order banning TikTok from state devices. And the clarification that I think is the case for a lot of campaigns, because I know Representative Deb Andraka posted something saying, you know, she's always used her personal phone because she does some TikToks that are fun. Yeah. She's always used her personal phone. Same thing for the Tony Evers campaign. He's never had a personal TikTok where he's just being Oplander, uploading the most recent trend, taking time out of his busy schedule. It's certainly people on their personal devices who work for his campaign that were doing that.
Oplander would be an account I would follow.
I was going to say, small pause. I just, any one of our fans out there, the listeners, please, please, please draw Tony Evers as Oplander. As much creative license as you want. I mean, within reason, because we would like to show it somewhere. But I want to see one of you great artists draw Tony Evers as Oplander.
And then we're going to put it on a shirt.
He's got to have like the milk hat on.
I mean, whatever.
And the holy mackerel tie.
Yeah.
But this is in the line of, you know, because yesterday the House approved, this is multiple, they're on a streak right now as far as getting things voted on and passing. But this one was not only just by the skin of their teeth with just the Republicans. This was actually a overwhelmingly bipartisan vote that the House approved Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher to lead the select committee aimed at countering the Chinese Communist Party. And I think this is interesting. I think whenever there is overwhelming bipartisan support for something, I think it's worth both highlighting as far as, hey, look, we can get things done. But also the idea that when there is, in these partisan times, there is an agreement on something or that much agreement, because it should be noted that the two Democrat Wisconsin representatives, Gwen Moore and Mark Pohan, did vote against this.
Yes, they did.
But a lot of Democrats voted for it. I think 146 voted for it, which is a lot.
I thought it was 165, but it's fine. It's fine.
Tomato.
It was very bipartisan. That's the thing.
It was very bipartisan. I'm unclear exactly on what. So you can read this in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Lawrence Andrea. And it sounds like this is this committee and how it differs from existing committees is that it is very specific to the Chinese Communist Party. And I think some of the concerns of this, because there was even an Asian American representative who represents the most populated Asian American district in the country who voted for this, because there were concerns as does a committee like this raise more concerns on spreading the rise of Asian hate, Asian American hate that we've seen. Yeah. And Gallagher was very direct on that. He wants to separate the people from the party, both as people who live in the United States, but also even the people who live in China, who in his view are oppressed by their own government. And so I don't know. I think this, I've said this before, in all of the types of information that you try to stay on top of, I'm smart, but I'm not that smart to be able to keep all of these different things in my brain. And just because my interest is so much of stuff that's going on in Wisconsin, I know less about how much of a threat China actually is. And while the reasons Pocan and Gwen Moore gave for why they voted against this is because they see it being having potential to just being playing politics.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of wondering if that's not that at all, and that it actually is a threat.
Well, I'm like you. When I hear them saying, like, we want to have a panel on the Chinese Communist Party, I'm like, this just sounds like low rent Joe McCarthy stuff here. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like that statement. Now, I knowing all the information that's going to be part of this committee, I'm worried that the ones who voted for it, who really in earnest want to like look into the topic, it's all going to be, those votes are going to be used to create something that's just going to stoke fear. That's what I'm afraid of, because that's what they can do with those type of, like, they've got, I mean,
well, I mean, the whole TikTok thing in general is stoking fear, right?
Yeah. The thing is, like, this whole like banning TikTok from government devices, whether it's state or federal, like, okay, cool. Like, this is the thing of, like, you talk to the FBI. The FBI says it's not a credible threat, but it could be. It's something that we should be looking out for. All right, great. You took the information. You did something. I feel like we're patting ourselves too much on the back about it. You got rid of an app. Big deal. It's not that big of a...
I also was wondering, is like, how much should any state device be having social media accounts on it?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like...
Even American-owned ones. But, like, on your state device, do you really need to be scrolling through Instagram?
I mean, I think the only person who should have access to that stuff should be the communications director or, like, your social media director. You can get permissions and whatnot. Yeah. We've talked about this before. It's like, it's when you watch meetings happening, you can see them on their phone scrolling through things, and people have been caught on Twitter and they're tweeting out during these important meetings. Yeah, get rid of them all. Like, them banning TikTok is not that big of a deal. This whole thing about China Communist Party, it's really hard to say.
CCP.
The CCP. The
cuckoo. Not to be confused with the BCCC. Do you know what that is?
What is that?
The bad carton. Say it again. You say it, James.
The bad carton of cottage cheese.
Okay.
It's a reference to all the Walker appointees who refused to step down.
Oh, yeah. For which I know Jane has many opinions. what I'm afraid of is that this what could be true in the hearts of some is just going to be the votes we use to make this thing happen that will just end up being a shouting tool and make people start screaming like, Chinese people are bad, or Chinese people are communists, or you're either with us or against us. You know, I'm nervous about it. I'm nervous just about this committee. I've got a great deal of nerve about like our relationship with China, with Russia, all those things. But like you, I don't know as much. But this whole thing of like, we're starting a committee on talking about the Chinese Communist Party, I'm like, that just seems so vague.
But it also feels like at what point, how do I want to phrase this? At what point do you raise the alarm? Right? At what point is it just go about your business? This is, you know, fretting over this as the general public. I mean this earnestly, as far as like, at what point do you inform the public that this is a threat?
Mm-hmm.
And at what point do we trust? And like on the flip side, when do you trust it that what your government is telling you about a foreign entity is a threat and they are telling you the truth versus using it politically?
I think at this point, and this is not to sound cynical, because I never want to come off being cynical, but I think we're too far gone as a country that if, let's say for all intent and purposes, Congressman Gallagher got together with all these individuals and put together a report and put it out there with no provocation from China at all, people be like, yeah, this is propaganda. We won't react until something happens.
Hmm. Interesting point. All right. Well, we'll take a first break, but there's something else that got banned 20-ish years ago. We're going to talk about it. Stay tuned. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
K Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 32 overnight under overcast skies. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Daytime highs approaching 36. A few flurries possible at times tomorrow night. Lows level off around 25. Overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, Jane Metnair is on the board, and good friend Greg Bach is here because it's Wednesday.
Hello.
Well, you are welcome to join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And do you remember? Are you old enough to remember? Because I think I'm old enough to remember the thing. I'm not old enough. I wasn't paying attention to news enough to remember that this happened and got banned from the NSA. But do you remember Furbies?
Yeah.
Do you remember Furbies, Jane?
I do.
Can we play the commercial? So anyone who doesn't remember Furbies, maybe this will jog their memory. This commercial for the fuzzy little toy.
What's that?
Wake up!
It's my Furby.
Furby loves lavender.
Tickle me.
Furby, the first gigapet.
Oh.
Teach to say her name.
Me, Noodle.
Play games.
Peek, Bab.
Oh.
And love you, Bab.
Oh,
achoo.
Your Furby sneezed.
Achoo.
And gave mine a cold.
Furby loves you, lavender.
Me love you.
Furby, the gigapet you really.
I never had a Furby. Did you have a Furby?
No, I was like 22. What are you talking about?
So in 1998, these were like the toy. And
like fight people in the store for
yes,
them.
Yes, this was like Tickle Me Elmo type toy. Yeah. And they had these big old, they kind of looked like gremlins, but they had these big old eyes and they could talk and they were just like little robots, but covered in fur. And what they could not do, despite rumors, was imitate things that they heard other like people saying, their owners saying or whatever. And the spokesperson was like, Furby is a clever toy, but it does not record or mimic voices. But apparently, no one told the U.S. intelligence community, because in 1999, Furbies were officially banned by the NSA, the Norfolk Naval Shipyard, and the Pentagon, because they were worried that employees might bring one to work. First of all, who's bringing a Furby to work when you're like a intelligence officer for the United States? But then that they were worried that they would bring one to work and it would eavesdrop on top secret conversations and start talking classified. So no joke, they were banned. And I want to believe that TikTok is probably a little bit more credible threat because technology has come a long way. But it's hard not to remember that we are all laughing about this now and potentially we may be laughing at the other things that get banned in 2023.
Let's be honest here. It was probably some at the NSA who was like,
these things creep me out.
He's like, if I have to listen to Don talk about his kid's Furby one more time, I swear to God, I'm going to get them to ban them. Because the man will not. He is 42 years old. Why does he have a toy at work? Why does he have a toy at work? It doesn't make sense. He's a weirdo. We should just get them banned. Can we do that? That's probably.
Cheryl, can we ban Furbies?
I'm right on top of that, Rose. Yeah, it's. There's a fraction of my brain that says it makes sense because you never know. You just never know. That slice is like 1%. The other 99% of my brain saying, oh, cool, my tax dollars at work.
But it's funny because I had to read, this is an article from Mental Floss, it wasn't just that they're going to do like tell secret conversations. Yeah. There was claims that the current Furby has the technology to launch the space shuttle.
Oh, wow.
There was a woman who was absolutely insistent that her Furby sings Italian operas.
So let's take that. Let's take all of that right there and relatively place it in the context of 2023. Could you imagine the 24-hour news network, the Newsmax, the OAN, the Fox News getting a hold of that information? It would be like 5 days of news. Like back then, it was just like, okay, that's kind of weird, and maybe someone saw it on a local news story or whatever. But nowadays, this would be dry. This would be a question asked at a debate.
Dexter from the 414 says the TikTok controversy, is it replacing the election was stolen slogan? Where is the proof that China is doing anything? And where is the proof that the election was stolen? Show me some evidence, and then people might not be so skeptical.
Well, and right now, well,
hey, 414, do the research. Just kidding.
I'm going to forget the details of this story, but I remember around the same time in December, so only a month ago, that the request of we should get this off state devices, there was an instance of people who worked at TikTok like tapping into different journalists' accounts or something. There was something that was a very bad look as far as, and it wasn't the Chinese Communist Party doing it, but it was people who worked at TikTok who kind of like crossed a line as far as the data and the information that they could have access to. But 414, you're right in the fact that the representative of, you know, like American Affairs for TikTok has testified in front of Congress saying the Chinese Communist Party does not have access. We do not give them any information. So I think that the sentiment keeps being nothing has happened yet, but it easily could. And as someone who spends a lot of time on that app, I don't think I do anything. Like, I am not important enough to be tracked, but I can understand that they take as much information as any other of these apps that we use. And the difference just being that the company is owned by the Chinese Communist Party. And ultimately, like, there is, I mean, you see those stories every once in a while with Apple, like when there is a mass shooting, Apple refuses to unencrypt or whatever the right technical term is so that government officials can investigate the case. They're like, if we do this once, then there's no reason why you wouldn't ask us to do this again. And so there is a stronger firewall, I feel like, between the private companies here and the government that doesn't really exist in China. All right, we got to take another break. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Thousands of flights were delayed or canceled today after an FAA computer system failure prompted a nationwide ground stop. It's blamed on a corrupted database file. Karen Reed got stuck at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport.
They kind of gathered everyone together as we were checking in luggage and said, we have a delay. And then it turned into a 2.5-hour delay.
CBS News has learned that documents marked classified from President Biden's vice presidency are found at a second location. CBS's Adriana Diaz.
The top Democrat and top Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee today called for an official damage assessment from the Director of National Intelligence. And that came before we found out about the additional location.
Musician Jeff Beck has died. He was 78. Rolling Stone contributing editor Anthony DeCurtis.
He'll be missed. I mean, that's a big hole in the music landscape.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dadication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dadication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Jane Mettenair on the board, and Greg Bach is here. And at the break, Mr. Greg Bach looked up the story that I was trying to remember, but my brain stopped me as far as the details of this TikTok story from December.
I just want the Pulitzer people to be listening right now because this crack journalism I'm doing. So for the individual who texted us and saying looking for the proof, there is a little bit of proof to put forth some suspicion, as TikTok did admit last year that people who work for them use their own app to spy on reporters as part of an attempt to track down journalist sources, which is bad.
Bad.
The company that owns it, ByteDance, which is very funny to me, has said that the four individuals who did it, or three of the individuals are fired, one individual resigned. So there is some evidence. There's a little bit. I mean, if they're doing that, if, I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be ByteDance. It doesn't have to be TikTok directing. It can be people within. If there's a problem, then we need to look at it. And if there's a solution, we need to enact it, which is what they are doing now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. I just, like I said before, I think we're patting ourselves on the back a little too much over it.
Who was patting themselves on the back?
Josh Hawley would shut up about it last. Oh my God, when he got things banned in Washington, he got like TikTok banned. It's like, oh, we get it, dude. You like, let's raise a fist for your greatness, and why don't you run away while you're at, you big traitor commie person. I ran out of words.
Okay. So I hope it doesn't go away, because I do like that app.
No, I don't think it'll go away. If it does, it will come back in another form.
You think so much? It'd be interesting, because it feels like, and I do want to get to other headlines, so we're not going to spend too much more time on this, but it just feels like the attempt for existing platforms, like everywhere right now is these short videos. So yeah. Reels on Instagram, whatever they call them on Facebook, which owns Instagram, YouTube Shorts, this idea of like these short videos, but none of them, I feel like, have really done a good job of like replicating the algorithm or like the effects and kind of the fun trends and the music and stuff like that. Like, because I think those other platforms were something else first.
Yeah.
And so this like amalgamation of all these different companies trying to steal what's works on other apps to put like incorporate it into what the user experience is that they've already done that is successful feels like. You know, people like want Instagram to be Instagram and want TikTok to be TikTok.
Yeah.
But for people who don't engage with any of those,
I think
maybe they don't care.
I still think TikTok is an amazing app. And I tell people, because one of the things I like about TikTok is that you don't have to sign up to watch videos. You don't have to give them a lick of your information to do it. And I think that's unless they've changed it since I signed on.
Hmm.
But I like it a lot. I like the fact you can change your own algorithm so easily by just following some cool accounts, and you get some really cool, like, you know, I mean, I still like it, and I tell people all the time, just take a look, have fun.
Have fun. All right. Well, this article was sent to me, I think, you know, around this time last year, we were in the throes of school board races.
Yeah.
And the resurgence of very conservative people running on kind of very cultural issues for school board seats. And in some cases, those people were elected. In some cases, they were not. But I don't know the details of it yet. I know there's a vote on the Waukesha school board tonight that is controversial around a dress code, and there's certain things happening there. So today, after the show, I'm going to look more on that and try to see if we can get someone to come in and talk about what's happening in the Waukesha school board and how that is kind of an example of what's happening statewide. But this, someone sent this to me, and the headline is Conservative UW-Madison Center holds symposium for school board members. And the sub-headline is Transparency, Parental Rights, and Water Slides, because this conference took place at Great Wolf Lodge.
So fun there.
In Wisconsin Dells. And all my mind immediately went to, oh, someone's having an affair at this thing.
Yeah, it may have sounded like it was going to be some like scandal. Like we were so going to
like salacious, like, ooh, it's like a real estate conference.
Oh, no. Naked school board members skinny dipping after dark at the Great Wolf.
And this is from Wisconsin Examiner. And it turns out it's a lengthy article. Deep dive into the funding behind some of these groups. The people who are involved, the people who are not involved, and kind of the influence of starting at the local level of influencing, not to use the same word in the same sentence, newly elected or, I guess, established school board members with a more conservative parental rights, school choice ideology. And it's a pretty in-depth look at the whole thing. And so what were some of your takeaways from this?
Well, first of all, I was very confused at first because I read the title of the article, Conservative UW-Madison Center Holds Symposium for School Boards. And then I saw the names of the two groups. One is the Center for the Study of Liberal Democracy, And the other is the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism, also known as FAIR.
FAIR, which is confusing because there's another FAIR mm-hmm. in Wisconsin that has to do with LGBTQ.
Yep, FAIR Wisconsin. Yep.
Yes. And so it's a, you know, similar to Human Rights Campaign.
Yep. So
it's very confusing.
So I had to go back and forth, and then it was all unlocked in the fifth paragraph, where it said that the Center for Study of Liberal Democracy, or the CSLD, receives financial support from the Lind and Harry Bradley Foundation, as well as the Charles Koch Foundation, in its mission to advance intellectual diversity by defending free speech on campus, presenting programs on religious and political freedom, the free market. Okay. And then the other group, FAIR, as I said, stands for Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism, which was started by a guy named Bion. That's his real name, B-I-O-N, Bion. He started the organization because he disagreed with a curriculum on race being introduced into his children's private school and found leaders unreceptive to his criticisms. So he said in an interview he wanted to build an organization with an alternative philosophy for understanding and combating racism, which all this just says to me is, wah, I'm a white person and I can't handle being told bad things. That's all this article is to me. I read the whole thing. It's such, did you know how much before you got here today, I was reading it again and I missed one small part of the article, and we'll talk about it more, but their whole thing was being held in one of their conference rooms, which was called the White Wolf Room. But like they invite school board members and they're about transparency and freedom. They wouldn't allow the press in there. They were upset when the press were outside talking to people. And they only had like 25 members, and they were from all over the country. I remember because one of them is Fishers, Indiana, where my family lives. And so it was just this very shiny, like, button-down way of saying, hey, you as a school board member have powers to reintroduce or to change policies, and you need to talk to the parents, and we need to empower the parents more, which to me was just reading as, let's get the parents so whipped up in a frenzy about their kids learning about racism and talking about pronouns that they'll be so upset that we can't get anything done in the first place. If we do, it's just to appease them and not really listen to the kids. Like they're trying to push this agenda of, we need the parents' permission to refer to them as a pronoun or as a in their gender identity. I'm like, this is crap. This is absolutely like this group. This is the perfect example of all this, like, of, you know, people watching too much OAN and Newsmax and Fox News and getting too much power and starting their own little groups because they're fragile and they're snowflakes and they can't handle any truth about the country that they live in. It was like, so like, I was getting more and more angry reading it while being less and less surprised too, because all this is just a distillation of idiots who are going to these meetings and screaming at teachers saying, you're not going to parent our children. Well,
is it that you're saying the people who are running the meeting, because the people who are attending the meeting are already on the school boards?
No. I'm saying not that people attend, the people who are starting these groups are the perfect distillation of parents who are just uncomfortable with their kids coming or saying things like, you know, should white kids feel guilty for being white? No one's teaching that. No teacher is telling a white kid that.
I still just can't wrap my head around, because we talked about it earlier this week, but an update on the East High School drag show that was picked up by libs of TikTok and threats of violence started, and at first the show was suspended. It's now been canceled because for safety concerns, and it reminds me a whole lot of what happened in Keele, Wisconsin in May, June of last year. And it's just the hypocrisy of, we are for freedom of speech, and simultaneously get rid of these books. You can't do these shows.
Yep.
You can't have a flag, a pride flag on your desk. And I mean, part of the Waukesha vote tonight is a dress code for teachers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get the idea of dressing appropriately at school if you're a teacher, but I don't think the dress code has to do with that.
No.
And it's just interesting to me, because this is not new. as far as like the ebbs and flows of conservative movements targeting at the local level. Like this happened with McCarthy, as far as people would bum rush school board meetings and ask everyone on the school board in front of everyone, like, are you now or have you ever been associated with the Communist Party? And it becomes a place where, because the threat is children, like they're such easy props to use to spread fear of we're doing it to protect the children.
Yeah.
That people get really riled up.
Yeah. And it's infuriating.
So,
because most of those kids are smarter than those adults.
It is shocking how smart kids are.
Yeah, I love it.
Who were we just talking? Oh, I think we were talking to last week when we had Ryan here about for the trivia and how he said so often the kids are better at trivia than the adults. And it's like
they're just
little sponges.
Little
they've been tainted by little other traumatic memories where they're pushing out the facts that they need to that they learn in fourth grade.
I mean, it just really for me, it's infuriating to watch this happen because the kids are being used as props. That's a great way of putting it. But also, it's just this total this whole thing of like, I don't want to feel uncomfortable. Yet they're the same people who would say, "F your feelings," you know?
Yeah, snowflakes.
So they are just the biggest examples.
Is that a black mermaid?
Yeah, I don't understand, and it makes me wonder now, like, because I always want to believe that the like my niece's generation, which I think is Gen Z and younger.
How old is she?
She's 21.
Yeah, she's Gen Z.
So like her generation and younger are gonna like really put the pieces together, because in real time with so much more access, they're gonna see the craziness. But if these kids are being raised in households where their feelings are so protected to the point where if you try to bring them up, they're going to get upset or angry, are they just going to be like their parents? And they probably will, because it's never going to be perfect. I don't know. This made me so angry just by the names alone, because the fair, the group fair is such a tool of white people. Seriously, a tool of white people to say, like, we are about combating racism and racism exists everywhere. Well, no, it doesn't, Bayan. It doesn't exist everywhere. You didn't do your research. You just don't like the fact that your school is teaching your kids about slavery. Sorry, but you don't get to start a whole group because you're sad about being a white guy. Or
he does get to start a whole group, and Megyn Kelly gets to be one of the advisors.
That was the other thing, too. Yeah, I saw that as well. Yeah, tell me more about freedom and transparency, Megyn Kelly. Blech. I had such high hopes for her, too.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to take another break.
This coffee tastes like mushrooms.
Gosh, I don't even know that reference. All right. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 32 overnight under overcast skies. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Daytime highs approaching 36. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. A few flurries possible at times. Lows level off around 25. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Jay Matinair picked a song that's got Greg all kerfuffled.
Was that Motley Crue?
That was Gary Moore.
Oh, way off. It sounded like something off of Shot of the Devil, which is, by the way, their best record.
I don't know.
It was a genre. Anyway, I thought it was a genre that you would appreciate.
I do enjoy it. I do like the rocking and the rolling.
His eyebrows perked up.
He goes, hey there.
Oh, my ears are tingling.
Some rock riffing.
Well, I thought this was interesting because I feel like in the rise of unions that we saw last year, saw an Amazon warehouse in New York successfully unionize. There's more and more Starbucks locations that are trying to unionize and, you know, using kind of a national labor shortage that we saw come out of the pandemic to bolster workers' rights. But yesterday, the Supreme Court suggested during oral arguments it may side with a concrete manufacturer in a case that could restrict workers' ability to strike. So the context here is in 2017, workers from the International Brotherhood of Teamsters Union walked off the job over contract demands. And in doing so, they left wet cement to dry in mixing trucks, obviously ruining the mixing trucks. So the company that owned the cement trucks sued the union for compensation, alleging that the strike destroyed its property, which, I mean, they did.
Seems fair.
But the Washington State Court dismissed the lawsuit, and then it got brought up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And they heard oral arguments, and they have to determine if the property damage during the strikes is protected under federal law. If it is, that could place greater restrictions on walkouts. And so where we stand right now, majority of Americans support unions, but with the Supreme Court decisions that have made that could have made it more difficult to strike, that's a major negotiating like leverage that these unions have, right? And so if they put that kind of, because what you understood this to be mean, what as far as how this limits unions' ability to strike,
it would limit their ability to strike in so much as like they would have to take into consideration that they would be on the hook for money owed to the company. So therefore, is it in their best interest to strike? Thinking about it between when I said and now, I mean, honestly, the union could just say, all right, we are going to strike. And then you all individuals, part of the union, know what you need to do to finish up whatever you're doing. So there is no liability on our end.
Yeah.
Like we'll walk off. We can walk off, but there's no cement in the truck. There's everything. All the work is done. All the things are finished, and then they can say, we're walking off the job now, goodbye, and then they'll kind of maybe shield themselves from any liability. I don't know. I mean, companies can be petty, everyone can be petty, but that's just how I saw it. It's like, you saw it as, how much would this cost the union if we did walk off the job in legal costs at the end of the day? And if it's millions of dollars, then they're like, it's not worth it. I mean, or they might not, or the workers might not want to do it then.
And so one of the quotes that I saw from this is, placing economic pressure on an employer to extract pro-worker concessions from that employer is the entire point of a strike. And I think, I don't know, I think it'll be interesting to see, like, is the limitations as far as actual property damage that they would be in charge of? Because isn't there an argument that you cause damages to the company simply by not showing up to work, and the company loses money just because they have no one to work the job?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And if that, depending on what the ruling is, isn't there a possibility that that becomes, it gets taken to an extent that, like, if you cost the company any money whatsoever, you are on the hook for that money.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what every company would end up doing, and therefore making their strike abilities weaker.
Have you ever been in a union?
No, I have not. I've worked for companies that had unions, but I was always a non-rev employee. So I just was always kind of outside the world of unions. My dad was a union trucker. He was a short haul trucker for me growing up, but he was a long haul trucker before I was born. And he was always part of union. And he had thoughts on it. He definitely had his thoughts on it that I think influence my thoughts on unions. Like, I don't want to upset any of my union friends, my union, but, like, I do have, you know, there's questions I have. And the problem is when I ask questions, sometimes they get really angry. I'm like,
really?
I'm like, I'm not trying to, like, say unions are bad. I'm not saying the work you do is bad. I'm just trying to say, in experienced people I know, they have not so great viewpoints on unions. That's fine. That's their right to do. They're still, like, my dad was part of union, paid his dues. But he didn't like being called a Teamster. He didn't like being called he was just a guy. He just felt like, I'm a guy. I'm a truck driver. That's my job. I do this thing. And
what's the connotation with Teamster being?
Well, like Jimmy Hoffa. He was
Mafia.
Mafia. Oh. And also like
I just thought that was like, I didn't know that that was what that, the well, context yeah. of that word was specifically was Teamster is tied to Mafia. Yeah. I just always thought Teamster meant, like, part of the union trucker or, like, whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, he may have seen it as a negative connotation of, like, you know, Teamster, I guess, you know, the mob, too much power, that kind of thing. Like, because okay. anyone who's against unions always thinks the union has too much power. And like I said, he was just a guy. He just was a truck driver. He paid his dues. He did his thing. And, you know, I'm proud of the fact that my dad was a trucker. It allows me to identify with country music songs way more. Thank you, Jane. But... I like you had to turn your microphone on. but yeah, I mean, so yeah, it's such a hot, it is a hot button issue.
It is
issue.
A hot button issue.
And I wish there were more like discussion about it to make people understand.
Well, because I think, and we only have a minute and a half before we have to go to break, and
we're
our
gonna
guest,
solve it here,
our
folks.
Guest, all right, we have a guest, so we can't continue the conversation. Rachel Harrison is going to join us next, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation. So stick around for that conversation. But just to round this out, I think there it warrants more conversation as far as the role of unions, people's like what has been. I think coming from people who've actually been in unions is the most and are. Have had mixed feelings about them is the best people to talk to, because obviously from the side of the propaganda and the misconceptions that are always perpetuated as far as unions mm-hmm. and they're corrupt and blah, blah, blah. But then there's also people who, I mean, I don't know, how else do you bolster workers' rights without a union? How else do you give them power without a union?
I don't think you do, because at the end of the day, no one's going to stand up for them. Like, the company's not going to stand up for them. There's got to be a group, but that group has to, I don't want to say the group has to be regulated, but we have to make sure that they are actually fighting for the rights of the workers.
Yes, exactly.
They are fighting for the right of the people.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, National Human Trafficking Awareness Day, some more myths that might get busted. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is Pat Brightlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.